Welcome to another episode of We're Disappointed, the show where two average folk talk about things in media, in society, in life that tend to be disappointing. In today's episode, we'll be discussing hype trains.
So today's episode is on hype trains.
I did that.
I was just going to say, I was going to ask you if you could define hype train for us.
All right. So a hype train is essentially the buzz surrounding a book or like some kind of media usually, but I think it also applies to people as well. And it's just like the excitement building around it. And it's usually like it makes it like too big to succeed, if that makes sense. Like the expectations of the thing surpass what the thing actually is. I was going to give Urban Dictionary's definition because I looked it up earlier just to be sure I knew what I was calling it. But hold on, let me pull that up. I hate things that use the definition. I mean, the word and definition doesn't make any sense. When something is so anticipated, like anything new, that you must board the hype train. But anyway, something that's highly anticipated, essentially, and the fervor surrounding that, I would say, is what a hype train is. But I want to, you know, first get out of the way that we're not saying don't be excited by things, don't anticipate things. It's just like keep it in perspective. Like we're not poo-pooing people who get excited about things, who look forward to things.
Well, I'm just like wondering, like I feel like to a certain extent there are certainly things that are blown up to this epic proportion and then do an amazingly public faceplant in front of the entire universe. There are certainly things like that. But I also feel that, like, and maybe it's because ultimately these things just aren't, like, my jam. But I feel that there are other things that are built up to, like, this insane level of amazing goodness. And then, like, I'll watch it or I'll listen to it or whatever it is. And I'll be like, this is fucking dumb. I won't understand, like, why everyone else is still, like, pooping their pants about it. Like, they're so excited. But I'm just like, this is fucking stupid.
I get that. I get you. That's, that feels almost like self-delusion. I feel that's also like you could call that maybe a side effect of the hype train, where it's like I feel like these people like these things, some of them, but then I feel like another portion of the people just like can't be wrong, so they'll keep feeding it.
They've staked their reputation on it almost.
Yeah.
And so it's like to say like, oh, nah. It's like they can't do it because they've like tooted their horn too loudly.
Yeah. He asked me something about this, like tangentially related. I just wanted to see if I could find it. Yeah. Okay. So he asked if we did an episode on humans and their need to idolize other humans. And I feel that may be like slightly related to hype trains, like hype trains like surrounding people. Like, whether it's an artist or, like, a director. Like, for example, I haven't seen it. I'm not bagging on it. But it is a hype train around it. The Justice League Snyder Cut that's coming out.
I, like, could not be less interested.
I know. but just the way people are cultishly taught. They've talked about this thing for, like, a year. Maybe 2 years. And it's just like, please relax. We're supposed to watch it in my house, which we haven't. But I'm like dreading it because this cut is supposed to be like fucking 4 hours.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't need to see a 4-hour movie. I can like, barely sit for 2 hours. The only pass I give movies to
that is Lord of the Rings. And that's because like I'll just like get up and do things while it's happening.
Yeah. But I mean, like, is that just one movie or are you chaining all three movies, not counting The Hobbit?
Yeah, we don't count any of The Hobbits. I mean, I've, like, had, like, marathon. I don't think I've chained all three. I think it's been, like, within, like, 3 days. So, like, mm-hmm. I was, like, one on vacation or something like that. Yeah. So I would put one on and, yeah. Like, you can't sit there for, like 5 billion hours. Like, you have to, like, get up and do something.
Well, yeah. Like, we did that. Like, we used to marathon movies around Thanksgiving weekend. Mm-hmm. And we would, like, watch something and then get up and take a break and then go into the next one. Like, we didn't just sit there for, like, 8 hours.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about, like, getting up while it's still going. Because I've, like, seen Lord of the Rings tons of times. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm going to miss anything. Sure. It's like, I'll just, like, there's, like, a battle going on or whatever. I'm like, I don't need to see this. So I'll, like, get up and I'll do a few things.
Makes sense. But, yeah, I don't know. I may have to take a nap during that and just get caught, brought up to speed. It seems like a lot.
I can't imagine myself sitting there and watching it. Like, I just can't.
Like, you know, as longtime listeners know, like, we're not really into, like, the big two when it comes to, like, we both read comics, just not the big two, Marvel and DC most of the time. Mm-hmm. But just, like, if I had to choose which set of movies to watch, it would not be the DC movies. DC is just very boring to me.
I liked The Dark Knight. That was a good movie.
I feel like that's such a departure. It's hard for me to even count that in the same cinematic universe as the other movies.
Yeah, because it's a good movie.
Like that.
I mean, that's why it feels like such a departure, because it's actually good.
That's a trilogy too, right?
Yeah, it is. The others really aren't worth mentioning. At least to me. Like, the third one especially was a big old stinker.
That's the one we went to go see that in theaters, and it was part of, like, a marathon. So we went to go see we saw the first two, and then we got up and got a break, and then we saw the last one. I can't remember what time we got out of there, though. It was very late. That was an all-day event. It was fun. I liked it. Like, as an event.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, yeah, you can view some things as an event, but never want to actually watch the movie ever again.
Yeah, I haven't watched it since then.
I just think there was, like, a lot of, like, cringe moments in that movie. Like, the one that stands the most out to me is, like, at the very end, when, like, you know this guy's Robin, like, you have to, like, be fucking, like, just extraordinarily dull-witted to not realize that that was Robin. Mm-hmm. But at the end, it's like, you can call me Dick, or, like, whatever the fuck it is. It's like, oh, really? Like, I don't even go here. And I knew that. Get the hell out of here.
But I feel like that's a lot of mainstream movies that have that kind of thing, where it's, like, very clear line, like, this is who this is gonna be, this is what the, and then they still try to play it off like it's a huge reveal at the end, like you're just a kindergartner.
It's insulting.
Yeah.
Just like, I mean, we didn't know that.
Somebody didn't know.
Well, I mean, you can't like put things down to the lowest common denominator. Like, if you don't, like, there have been plenty of things where I'm like, wait, like, I'm not following this. And that's on me. That's on me. Like, I gotta figure things out sometimes. Now, I'm not excusing that for, like poorly told stories or something. But just if, like, something is complicated and I haven't been paying attention and, like, I lose the thread, that's my problem. Mm-hmm. It's, like, not, like, the job of the storyteller to, like, stop every 5 seconds and make sure that I'm still following along.
That's a good point that you make there. Like, obviously, this is a tangent, but we're allowed our tangents every once in a while. But, like, I feel like that with, like, writing, like, people were expecting me to do that. And then when I did try to do that, it's like, oh, she did that. And it's just like, well, what the fuck do you want? So it's like, you just gotta, like, for that particular thing, I figured, like, just do what feels right.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than trying to appeal to, again, like, the lowest common denominator. But just, like, I wonder, like, when they make these kinds of movies and when they make those kinds of leaps, not leaps, but like dumbing it down. Like, who are they doing it for? Like, are they told to do this for like a person that we're not like taking into account?
It that probably needs that? Is like focus groups or something like that.
I guess.
I mean, you know how stupid people are. Mm-hmm. Like, they probably have like a bunch of like dodos in there, and they're like, I don't get it. Who's this guy? Who's Dick? And so they have to like hit you over the head with it.
I was gonna
say
maybe it's for someone who's never stepped foot into the Batverse at all.
Then like, then why do you even care?
Yeah, at the same time, it's like you probably wouldn't even know who Robin is. So what difference does it make?
Yeah, it's kind of like, does it even matter to you?
It's kind of strange. It's a weird choice.
It's annoying.
But to get back on track, I can't remember where the car went off the road for this, but
Oh, you were saying that like that the Zack Snyder cut is a hype thing.
Yeah, super hype.
Yeah. I can't imagine, like, honestly, taking anything seriously made by someone named Zack Snyder.
Terrible. Why are you prejudiced against this man's name?
I don't know, he just sounds like someone I would know in middle school or something.
Terrible. But okay, so I have a note here. It says, sometimes, you know, the fans generate the hype, but then mm-hmm. other times they have help with the industry, like planting seeds of hype around, which can be, you know, disguised as, you know, fake fans or people who are paid to generate hype, or like them just saying like it's the best thing ever and people just believing it. So it's like, for this particular thing, which do you think it is? I think, from what I remember, I think it's...
Are we still talking about the Batman?
Yeah, no, about the Justice League. Okay. Justice League. The Snyder Cut.
Isn't it Batman?
It's not just Batman. It's like all the DC heroes.
Okay, well, whatever. Batman's part of it.
Yes, Batman's part of it. And so is Superman and Aquaman and Cyborg and whoever. But anyway, I feel when it came out and it bombed and everyone was throwing Josh Whedon rightfully under the bus... Because like Snyder, I think what happened was he had like a death in the family, like one of his like millions of kids like died, and he had to step away from the project like mid project, and that's when Joss Whedon took over. I could be wrong, but that's what I remember. And after it came out, he was like, yeah, they didn't keep to what I said and they did all this stuff that I didn't want to do. And it's just like the movie was so bad that the fans demanded this cut, essentially. But it's like mm-hmm. they demanded it because he talked so much about it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, is that him generating the hype, or is that the fans latching onto something and generating hype?
Well, I mean, I feel like if you were going to say that it was him generating the hype, that like you would be saying something about his motivation for it. Like, because I mean, I could see myself like saying, like, if I were in that situation, like, wanting to say, like, this wasn't what I had intended. Because, like, you don't want it, like, to be, like, associated with your good name. So it's just like, no, this isn't me.
Yeah,
this
isn't what I had in mind. But it's just, like, also, it feels weird. Was, like, you're both, you know, just respect among colleagues, even if it's Joss Whedon. Like, it seems weird to just be like, yeah, he made this trash. I would have did it better.
I mean,
it's true. It's probably
doing that
true.
Some of my coworkers.
But just, that's different. It's like, it's not even your coworker. It's someone who's in your job from another unit who came to do something that
yeah,
you couldn't then do
I would,
unit.
Then I would badmouth them even more. Because I have, like, fewer ties to them. So I'd be like, no, this person was a fool.
But what if it's an industry where your good name is essentially how you get more work? And if you...
Well, then
shit
I
on
would
someone
say
else's good name is going to fuck you up. It could potentially fuck you up.
I mean, I guess that was a risk he was willing to take.
I guess it paid off since people like... But it's like, I was talking to Two Beards about it because he's seen it, or he knows more about it than I do. And he was saying how... Because like, I was looking on Twitter and this one guy, Ray Fisher, who plays Cyborg in the movie, he hated working with Joss Whedon. Like starting last year, like around this time, he was shit talking Joss Whedon because of how poorly he felt he was treated in the movie, and they also cut big parts of his character's arc out of the movie. Mm-hmm. And of course he's like citing racism for that, And it's like when the Snyder Cut came out, he's essentially sucking Zack Snyder's dick. And I'm just, and like a lot of people are just like, oh, thank you, Zack Snyder's is so much better and blah, blah, blah. I was like, how much did they pay y'all to say this? And Two Beards was like, he's like, it probably is a lot better, but that's not to say it's good. He's just saying that Whedon set the bar so low.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like at a certain point, like you can't go anywhere but up.
Yeah, but I mean, but better than that doesn't mean good. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, it's weird.
Yeah, like if it was like an F before and you moved it up to a D, that's still not a passing grade.
Exactly.
Well, I like anytime it's like an actor or an actress that's tooting the horn of the movie or the TV show, like I just assume that's part of like
marketing.
Yeah, it's like it's what they're paid to do. Like they can't say anything else.
I mean,
they have to say those
things.
This
guy was saying other stuff though. Like he didn't care. Like he could have, like this was right before Black Lives Matter like really took off, which I feel mm-hmm. might have emboldened him a bit. But it's like typically you don't say the kind of stuff he was saying if you want to continue working, because like I was saying, like this is an industry where your good name is all you got, and if someone bigger than you takes a shit on you, then you're done. And that easily mm-hmm. could have happened. Like if Black Lives Matter did not kick off right after, and people were, you know, examining how things are done or have always been done, he probably wouldn't be able to get any more work. I think he'll be fine. But I now. Mean,
isn't Joss Whedon, like, isn't his like turn on the Wheel of Fortune like at its lowest point right now? Like, no one really likes him. So it's not like he's like shitting on like Tom Hanks or something.
But I feel like this helped that though.
Oh, did it?
I think so.
I thought we already didn't like him.
I feel like some people didn't, and I feel like after this movie came out, more people didn't.
Hmm.
Like, I honestly, I don't know. Like, what is the issue with Joss Whedon? I don't keep up with him.
Well, he's like, I mean, it's not like I keep up with him either. It's just, like, I've heard that he's, like, a complete asshole to, like, actually work with. Mm-hmm. And then he's, like, really, like, misogynistic.
I did hear that, too. What else? Who was it? It was, like, someone, again, after the cyborg stuff. It was someone, I can't remember who it was. Was it Gal Gadot? No, it was someone else. I think they were saying how they were pregnant and they were like a high risk pregnancy. And they tried to, I could be mistaken him with someone else. I'm going to throw that out there first. But they were high risk pregnancy and they needed to adjust their schedule so they weren't working too much and they weren't working crazy hours. And they tried to get in touch with him and he just wouldn't answer his phone for them. Mm. And then he was demanding that they come and start shooting for the day at fucking 1:30 a.m. and all this other stuff. And
what?
Yeah. Like, that's, which is, you know, it's something that you do as an actor. Like, you got to shoot at different times. But she has, like, a medical exemption, and he just wasn't trying to hear mm-hmm. it. So that.
Well, then she just, like, not answer the phone for
that's
him.
That's what I said.
Is it Josh?
Joss.
Or Joss?
Joss, J-O-S-S.
Yeah. So I thought.
Yeah, it's, what is it? Someone named Charisma Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
She worked on Buffy and Angel. Oh my god. This was 2002, so her baby is like 18 now or something.
An adult
yeah.
now.
Gross. I'm trying to figure out what else we can talk about as far as hype trains. Like, what's the anatomy of a hype train? Just no one can say anything negative about it. Everyone is, like, pre-ordering it and making shit up about it. Like, okay, a good example would be Cyberpunk, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And how, like, for example, Two Beards. I kept telling him, like, after I was burned by Mass Effect 3, I said, please, please, please temper your excitement for this game. I said, CD Projekt Red, who's really only made one game, which is one series of games, which is The Witcher. And
oh, I didn't realize they made mm-hmm, that.
Like three, like all three of them. And then that's minigame Gwent. They made another game for that, which I'm still counting that as The Witcher. And mm-hmm. there's like one other thing that's also related to The Witcher that they've done. Like that's the sole base of their fame. But anyway, after I was burned so thoroughly by Mass Effect 3, and after Andromeda and Anthem were garbage, as I knew they were going to be, I was like, listen, this studio is, like, everyone liked The Witcher, but you got to keep it in perspective. Like, wait and see how it's going to be before you get too amped about it. Mm-hmm. And because, like, at that point, like, all we had was, like, the stupid little snippets that they gave us, which was, like, mostly cinematics and, like, the one part of a mission. Because they really, like, before the game came out, they weren't showing a whole lot, which is always, like, you know, a bad sign. And he's like, no, on my first playthrough, I'm going to play this. And on my other playthrough, I'm going to do that. I was like, bro, get through one playthrough first and then start talking about all that. And, like, he wasn't alone in it. Like, a lot of people, like, the whole internet was abuzz with hype for this game. And I'm just like, I personally couldn't understand it because, mm-hmm. like, I'm not a, like, I know what, like, cyberpunk is, like, what, like, dystopian, flashy dystopian future, tech future or some shit. Like, I'm trying to, like, condense it. And it's, like, that's not, like, condense is the wrong word, but, like, that's my understanding of what cyberpunk is. And, like, I kind of knew the genre, even if I didn't know the name prior to it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, that was never that appealing a thing to me. It's, like, glamorized, like, poverty for the most part. Like, I was talking to, this is the episode full of tangents. I was talking to Two Beards earlier this week, and he was showing me these videos of this city in Hong Kong, I think it is, called Kowloon. And it's, like, this particular area is very poor, and you have, like, these super packed, really, like, micro apartments where people can barely live, but it's all they can afford to mm-hmm. live in, and all this other stuff. And he was showing it to me. He was saying that he liked the design because it reminded him of cyberpunk. And I was like, I said, cyberpunk is just glamorized, extreme class difference, economic inequality, essentially.
Yeah, I wouldn't really call people living in extreme poverty conditions like that design.
Yeah. Like, I had to make them think about it.
It's not like they're like, we're living in this micro apartment because it's chic.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's because they have to, and they wouldn't be there if they didn't want to
design, he's just thinking from it as an artist standpoint, as something that he just likes the general build of, not like they did this by design, like they were trying to encourage someone to get in here or want this, just like just the form, I mean, when mm-hmm. I say design. But yeah, that kind of thing never really appealed to me. So I didn't understand the hype. Like, I'd never heard of the tabletop game either until this came out. People started talking about this game. And I was just like, just hold off. It looks too good to be true. So it probably will be. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as the game came out and people were talking about the bugs and the T-posing and all this, he dropped it. Like, he has not picked up the, like, someone gifted him the game and he hasn't played it yet.
Yeah, so like, I understand how, like, you thought that his enthusiasm was misplaced, but I wouldn't necessarily qualify it as a hype train, because I think that we had tried to define that in the beginning of, like essentially, like, you don't get off of that train. And, like, you keep, like, pumping it up, and you won't allow, like, any criticism about it, like, even after it's proven to be garbage. But it seems that, like, you know, he got excited about it. He was excited. But then when, like, oh, like, this is terrible, then it's just, like, he wasn't even interested anymore.
But, I mean, prior to that, he was on the hype train, because I was criticizing the shit the whole time, and he wouldn't hear it. And it's, like, it's not just him. Like, a hype train isn't just one person. It's, like, just a phenomenon that can encompass a bunch of people. And I feel like even after this, like, granted, I don't know for sure, I don't know numbers, the majority of people got off the hype train, there were still people talking, oh, this is the best game, this is such a good game. And it's like, really? It's like,
yeah, well, people are saying that about Andromeda, and it's like, have you played another video game, like, ever before in your life?
I feel like that applies here too. Have you ever played another game, like, any game at all? Have you played a phone game, like? But I mean, it doesn't have to be sustained for everyone in it, but it's just so, like, it endured, like, surprisingly. Like, even though it was panned by, like, a lot of sources, a lot of people still kept on with it, which mm-hmm. is fucking bizarre. When it's proof, like, there's evidence in your face that this is not good. And it's like, I'm mm-hmm. sure if you've played it, you've seen yourself that it's not good. Like, I saw someone, I can't remember who it was, and they were trying to say, oh, all games have bugs. It's like, yes, this is true. It's hard to find a game these days that ships without bugs, but this is insane. Like,
yeah, it's like game breaking
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. And it's like, when I was playing it last time, audience, I started playing it again after this latest patch, and it's still buggy as fuck. It's like, I could not go 20 minutes without running into another bug. Like, no matter what I was doing, if I wasn't doing a mission, if I was just running around or driving my car or riding on a motorcycle, there was a bug. And then people are still trying to defend it. I'm like, are you sick?
See, okay, but really, though, like, you're the one who's playing it, even though it's garbage.
Well, that's mostly because like, I don't know why you waste your time with it. I'm playing it, but I'm not defending it. I'm playing it knowing what I'm playing. I'm not going to say it's good.
Yeah, but like, why are you playing trash?
You know, I enjoy trash. And it's like, I like having stuff to...
You like to be able to complain
about
it.
I do. Honestly, true, I do. I'm not going to lie.
I know you do. It's like one of your favorite things right now.
I like to complain about stuff, but it's like when I was playing it the first time, the glitches were fun to a point, like when they were like really ridiculous, like the thing I showed you last night with the guy's head that kept flickering.
Mm-hmm.
But like when it's doing that constantly and then it's like people T-posing in the middle of the road every time I turn a corner, like that's no good.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I had been one of the people who was looking forward to this game, I would be crushed.
yeah.
Another example of a hype train, we talked about it earlier. We talked about it in the BioWare episode, I think, was Andromeda. No. Anthem.
Mm-hmm.
That shit didn't make any sense to me because they fucked up two games in a row right before Anthem. I don't understand how anyone thought Anthem was going to be good.
No.
Like, they at least had more to show that was misleading people than mm-hmm. Cyberpunk did. Like, I was kind of interested. I liked the character designs and whatnot. But then when they said it wasn't going to be, like, a squad-based game and there wasn't going to be any romance, I was like, nah, I'm out.
Yeah, it was the romance thing that, like, made me... Well, I mean, honestly, like, after Andromeda, I was like, ooh. But, yeah, like, it was just, like, no romances, and then what the fuck is the point?
Yeah. Like, don't give me interesting characters that if I can't level on them, I don't care about it.
Yeah.
That's what I want in my games. Like, what you call it? That's something else that annoyed me with Cyberpunk. It's like, there are people around. It's like, I want to flirt with them. I can't. It's like, why not? Like,
Oh, like NPCs?
Yeah, like early on in the game, you do this mission and you're talking to this bartender. He seems like someone you should be able to flirt with, and you totally can't. It's very upsetting to me. Mm. This bartender named Mateo at Lizzie's Bar.
Maybe there's a mod for it.
It won't help me since I'm on Stadia. But if it if it gets really cheap, I may get on PC and mod it. It was on sale on PC like 2 weeks ago. They knocked like $20 off.
That shit's gonna be like, it's gotta be like $5 like Andromeda.
Yeah, right. Right? I should look and see what's on that mod, Nexus Mods, for it.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
I really do think that just about every game, if it's like possible to have romance options, it should have romance options.
Yeah, and if you don't want to, just don't do it.
Then you just don't do it. It's just like, it always adds so much to the game. And I feel that it's like, it requires very little work to actually do it, because you're already creating dialogue trees. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, throw so much trees in there.
Yep. One thing, though, I didn't like about like Mass Effect 2 specifically, was I felt like some of the things that you got only when you romanced the character, you should have gotten them if you were like just being trying to be their friend.
If you were like BFFs. Yeah.
And then at the end of that, it's like, oh, do you want to date? Do you want to be more than BFFs? And then you could get something else.
Yeah, no, I like it. I'm trying to think of an example of a game that does that. But I do like that, because then it's like, it implies that it's like, like, you don't need to be fucking them to, like, earn their trust, essentially, and be able to, like, access, like, all of their, like, secrets mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Like, you can just be friends and, like, still, like, be able to have that level of intimacy.
Exactly. I think another, I'm going to call it a runaway hype train, which is when something has such a big hype train and then just totally bips it and fucks up, like Cyberpunk. And mm-hmm. what you call it, the last three Star Wars movies.
Oh, Lord. I mean, I didn't mind the first one.
It was okay. I mean, compared to the other two, it was absolutely stellar.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, it's like the other two were Fs, and so this one. I think, I know, I feel like I genuinely enjoyed the first one.
I enjoyed it too, but I just feel like I have to look at them as a whole, because I feel like the first one was kind of open, and it was obviously a leading point for the other two, and then it just fucking went yeah. nowhere.
Yeah. No, that was like one thing that, like I've said this before about episode 4, about how much I like that one because I feel that it can stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could just be its own self-contained story.
I was gonna say, I feel like that's how it was intended, and then he was like, oh shit, people want more.
Yeah, you know, probably.
I have more material to give you. There you go.
Yeah, but that, like, the last Star Wars movie in particular was extraordinarily offensive. Like, it was just, this is what you produced. Like, yeah. You have basically an unlimited budget. You have access to incredibly rich, like, resource material. Like, all of this information that you can mine for this. And this is what you produced.
Yep.
I think that one of the moments that was the most offensive to me was, like, that stupid, like, blade or knife or whatever that they got that, like, had, like, the weird edge. And it's like they took it and there was like this random like garbage derelict ship in the ocean. And it's like it matches like the silhouette of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no. Like, no, it doesn't. That's fucking stupid. Like, come on.
I honestly don't remember that too well because I tuned out a lot of the movie. Like after the end, like my brain just exploded and I was like, no, fuck this. Like with Kylo and Rey kissing, like I exploded.
Yeah, I was like puke-worthy.
It was very upsetting. I was like, okay, let's forget that he tried to manipulate her for fucking, what, a movie and a half.
He like tortured her.
That too. Let's forget all that. Here's a kiss and then I die.
And it's like, I mean, we've talked about, I think, I don't remember if we've talked about it on the podcast, but I know we've talked about it at least between the two of us. How it's like, I love a good redemption arc. Like, I do like it a lot. But there are, like, certain things where it's just, like, you can't walk back from that. Like,
kill both your parents.
Like, you could, yeah, you kill both your parents. Like, he, like, was part of the whole, like, blowing up all those planets thing. Mm-hmm. Like, he fucking slaughters that village in the very, very beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he's a bad guy. And it's like, and he's like, he doesn't even have a good reason to be a bad guy. Like, he's just like a shitty person.
Yeah. He's his grandfather's fanboy.
Yeah, which is just like, so you admire like your Nazi grandpa.
I still understand like, that either. It's like, okay, Luke saw darkness in me. My mentor tried to kill me. So rather than just being neutral, it's like, no, let me go do this other shit that's the complete opposite.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, I just don't get that. Like, it's just, like, I'm just trying to think. Like, so my teacher tries to kill me. Like, that doesn't mean that I then go off and, like, kill the rest of my students. Like, why would you do that?
It doesn't make sense. And I heard this was not the story they originally wanted to tell or something. But it's just like,
I'm so fucking tired of that excuse.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, fuck you. You don't get to say that. Like, I'm sorry.
But
you
I feel like that's like,
oh, but what I really wanted to say was even better. And it's like, oh, fuck you.
But I feel like that takes us back to, like, the Snyder Cut thing. But at least with the Snyder Cut, that was an easier fix because it was all editing. Mm-hmm. Whereas
and there was, like, there seemed, you know, there was a genuine obstacle to him completing his work mm-hmm. on it, instead of it just being, like, something that someone says, like, oh, well, the original idea that we had was so much better. And it's like, fuck off. But anyway, like, I like a good redemption arc, but, like, Kylo Ren, like, I could have accepted his redemption, like a Vader sort of redemption, where it's, like, at the very end, he's like, all right, I'm gonna be nice now. And you're like, okay. And so then he dies. Like, and then that's it. Like, I don't feel, it's like, Vader is redeemed only for that moment. Like, there's no, like, oh, well, now he's a good person. It's like, no, he's still kind of shitty, but he did make a right choice at the very end. So, you get a gold star for that one moment. But all the rest are just thumbs down across the board.
I was going to say something. Something in regards to, well, I was thinking about how, like, just to go back to the better story thing. Like, even, I remember all the actors in the last three Star Wars movies thought this was bullshit, too. They were like, this is not where we saw this going. This doesn't even make any sense. But they were kind of locked in at that point. Mm-hmm. Any other, hype, runaway hype trains?
I feel like you can open up Tumblr and, like, scroll for 2 seconds and find another one.
True.
There have been things that have been ruined for me.
Because of Tumblr.
Because, I honestly can't point to any right now, because you know that my memory now is, like, non-existent. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I don't remember. But, like, I mean, it's just, like, I'm scrolling through and it's, like, people just, like, it's just calm down. Like, calm down. And I can't watch it. Like, I feel like I've already seen it. I feel like you've gifted enough that, like, I've already seen the thing. I don't need to watch it for myself now.
Yeah. Like, that's how I feel about the BBC Sherlock. Like, just off the top of my head. Like, I wasn't,
you ain't missing anything.
Like, I was gonna say, I wasn't super interested in it, but I just lost any little inkling of interest I had because of Tumblr. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is linked to the fandom episode because they just do too much.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I'm happy that they're excited, but it's also just like, it's an oversaturation. It's like now it's like, I can't even enjoy it myself because, like, everywhere I turn, it's just like in my face.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Never go on Tumblr if you like anything, because they will make you absolutely fucking sick of everything. It's like, it mm-hmm. works for a little bit if you're able to see the stuff from fandoms that you like. Again, only for mm-hmm. a little bit. I'll say, like, 6 months, because it's like, it's a font of fan art and fan fiction and fan theory if you're into that. But then it just gets really, really tired really quick. But can you think? Oh, I want to say Game of Thrones also. Mm-hmm. That's on my list. Because it's like, I just feel like it was overhyped. People were expecting too much. And it's like, granted, the last season was dog shit. I personally checked out, like, after season, like, 4. But, like, just people were expecting so much. I feel like there was, like, what they gave was bad. But I feel like there wasn't really anything they could have given that people would have been totally satisfied with. Like, that was bad. It was really bad. And there are people who are okay with it. And there are people who actually like how the last season ended. And I'm sure mm-hmm. that both of us have talked, not on the podcast, but about better ways it could have ended. But I'm just saying, because of how big it was, there was no way it was going to satisfy everyone.
Well, you know what was interesting about that? And this is, like, just what I read. Maybe I'm wrong. But, like, I read that, like, HBO had been willing to, like give them more episodes. Like, extend the time they had, essentially, to wrap things up in a satisfying way. And they declined it.
I didn't hear that. Ooh, that's bad.
And so it's like, and so they had the time and the opportunity to tell the story that it deserved. And they're just like, nah.
Yeah, think they're done.
Yeah, which I like, I mean, I sympathize. Like, I have worked on things where it's like, it becomes to a point where I'm like, I'm tired of this bullshit. Yeah. Like, I don't want to work on it anymore. And so, like, I get that. But also, it's like, it's your job.
Yeah.
So, like, you gotta do it. You gotta.
Like, pass it to somebody else. Let someone else do it. Like, you know, right? What? I don't feel like I have the vision for this, but maybe this other person does. So.
Or, like, you just, like, introduce more people on the writing team, you know? So, it's like, if you're feeling kind of tapped out, like, you can rely on others' inspiration. Well, I thought you meant, like, handing it off completely.
Well, I mean, if the people were done, they could hand it off completely. Like, if they were totally, like, burnt out, because that's what it felt like, a burnout, and they just, for, like, whatever, they should have gave it to somebody else. But, I mean, obviously, like, an influx of new ideas is also very good, but it only works if everyone cares.
Yeah. You know, it was just, like, I fell off before then, too. Like, I remember what my breaking point was, like, another rape. Like, it was, like, I got spoiled and, like, I saw that Sansa was going to be raped. And I'm like, you know what? I don't need to see this.
Mm-hmm.
like, what is this giving me? Like, what purpose is this serving?
You gotta
in my
see
life?
That she's strong.
It's not
strong.
Making me happy.
It's building her character. Like, never mind that she's been through, like, hell already.
Mm-hmm.
This is the ultimate. Like, that's how I feel. Like, obviously I don't believe this, but this is what I feel is their thought process. This is the ultimate. It's the worst thing that can happen to a woman. You gotta do it so that she can come back and be that much of a stronger character. And it's like, fuck off. Fuck all the way off.
Yeah. Agreed.
Fuck off forever.
Oh, and then I also saw that, like, that little girl with, like, that skin condition, like, they were gonna, like, kill her too. I was like, what the
I think
fuck?
They did kill her. Yep.
Yeah, it's just, why do I want to watch this?
It was stupid. Like, I think they burned her at the stake or something, because her dad's, the red woman or whatever, who her mom was also following for whatever reason, was like, you know what, you gotta do it.
Yeah, so, like, that fire guy or whatever, I don't remember his name. Yeah, so it's just, like, it just became, like, something that it was, like, It didn't make me feel good. Like, I wasn't really enjoying watching it. And, like, hearing about what I was going to have to endure, I was just like, it's not for me anymore.
And, like, it wasn't worth it. Like, nothing that happened after those things made going through those things worth it at all.
Yeah, I'm sure it didn't. I mean, I read about, like, the final season, and it was just, it was just garbage.
That's
extremely disappointing.
I was gonna say disappointing. It's disappointing that they just said nah. Nah, we're good.
Yeah, I mean, you verify that. It's just what
that's
I read.
So insane. I'll look it up, but that's nuts if it's true. In my notes, I have the question that I don't have an answer for, and it was, were there any hype trains that succeeded, like they didn't implode or run away? Like, they were worth the hype.
Yuri on Ice.
Was it hyped up, though? Like, it was...
I don't think so.
Like, I feel anything coming out of it now will be hyped. But I feel like the initial season was not hyped up. Like, I just saw it on Tumblr one day. And Tumblr lost its shit.
Well, I mean, isn't that a hype, though? Tumblr losing its shit?
But, I mean, it was so deep in the episode, in the season, though. I feel like it was almost over. Okay. Like, I feel like hype also kind of comes before the thing starts, or, like, at the beginning of the thing.
Okay.
And I guess it could count, because it's sustained after it for a while.
Yeah, and I'm fully on board.
I guess for me, that would be Kimetsu no Yaiba, Demon Slayer. That was something that was worth the hype to me. I was very surprised.
Yeah. No, that was good. That was good. I also very much enjoyed
that. I was
that.
Super surprised. I was surprised, and then I was happy because I was surprised by how good it was.
Right? Doesn't it feel good? It's like for once, like, you're not disappointed.
Pretty much.
What are I'm trying to think of like any movies that I've seen. I mean, I'm thinking of like Oscar movies that I've seen. Like Parasite won Best Picture. I thought that that lived up to the hype.
I can't say about, it was a very good movie. I can't say about the hype though.
Well, I just mean that, like, you know, it was the Oscar hype. Like everyone was saying it was like the best. And I was like, yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
I don't know. I mean, I guess so. I guess I'll go in with that one. Because it's just like, I don't trust the Oscars for anything.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's like if they actually turn out to be right, it's something to be celebrating.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that one. Anything else? Because like, what was that one? That won Oscars, and everyone was like, "What the fuck is this? La La Land or something?"
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was like, "How did this win?" Like, that's how you know. Like, if you had questions about the shit being mostly crooked before.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh my God. Of course, I can't say anything too specific because I didn't bother watching it.
I saw bits and pieces, and it was just, it was dry.
Yeah, I just like I knew I wasn't gonna like it, so
Very
then why would I waste
dry.
my time? Some other can you think of any games?
No. I feel like there were probably games in the past that were in, maybe Final Fantasy 15, but I don't know how hype that was. Like for me personally.
Well, what about the Final Fantasy VII remake? That was
That was
hyped, and
hyped.
I think that it lived up to it. It was great.
It was great to me. I feel mostly because of nostalgia. I wanted to get Nogun's impressions about it, but we're a year later and he has not picked it up since.
Yeah, well, fuck him.
Hold on. I wanted to hear how someone with like his only knowledge of it, as far as I know, is vicariously through me, like this the IP as a whole. So I wanted him to go into it and see how he liked it, and he just wouldn't even give it a chance. Like he tried it for a little bit and then fell off and never came back.
It's just not his
I
jam.
guess. But I mean, it was very enjoyable. I liked the things that they changed and the things that they added a lot. It.
Yeah, so that's a successful hype train. What about the Witcher TV show?
Yeah.
Was that hyped?
I think a little bit. I think it was mostly hyped because people were so hype about the game. And you know how I felt about The Witcher 3. That was not my jam at all. Like people were, you know, talking about, oh, it won like what? Like something like 80 something game of the year, some stupid high number. Let me see if I can find it just so I can be more mad.
I want to be able to finish that game, but I doubt that I will.
We could try it again to play it together.
I've like forgotten all the
We'll
controls
start
now.
over.
I'm not gonna start
Why
over.
not?
Because that's so much work.
It's not that much. We weren't that far into it.
We're far enough.
249 confirmed Game of the Year awards.
Wow.
I don't think it's worth
That's intense.
that.
Did what how many did Ghost of Tsushima get?
Oh God, you're gonna make me barf. Hold on.
Well, what would you rather have the higher score? The Witcher or Ghost of
Neither.
Tsushima?
Neither.
Yeah, but you have to pick. You have to pick. It's gonna be one of them.
Neither. What happens if I don't pick?
But I just mean that, like, factually, one will have more over the other.
Oh.
So I'm asking you to guess, which do you think has
I
more?
feel like, what you call it has more. The Witcher. I feel like no one's beating that. I see two awards for it. I don't see any Game of the Years. One award for audio achievement. An award for best art direction, which I'll give you. It deserves that because it was pretty, if empty. Oh my gosh, hold on. I see five awards here. Yeah, no games of the year.
Oh,
No,
really?
it's been nominated but didn't win any. I think because it was going up against The Last of Us 2. That's why I didn't win any.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, okay, so Last of Us 1, do you think that was a successful hype train?
I honestly didn't even hear any hype about that. And then after that, I didn't really see any hype either.
I honestly don't remember.
I feel like I got it because, like, I saw a commercial and you asked me to get it, so I got it. That was it.
All right, well, go me. I'm the winner here.
Let's see how many The Last of Us 2 won, so I can be mad about that. Holy shit. That won more than a Witcher.
Really?
261.
And how much is 249. The Witcher? 249. Ah, just barely cracked it.
Insane. 215 of those are games of the year. What wow. the fuck? What the fuck? That's so insane. Like, this. Okay, no. If you're looking at it that way, The Witcher won more still. The Witcher's, the 249 are all games of the year.
Okay. And the Last of Us is just awards period. Yeah,
261 is just awards period, but 215 of those are games of the year.
Yeah, so The Witcher probably wins, because I'm sure that they won more than those 200 whatever games of the year. They probably won other awards in addition to that.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy. It's just like, my brain can't compute this high-ass number. Hold on. I know this is not important to the podcast. I may cut this. But, okay, the thing that says it won 215, that was from 2016. And the mm-hmm. Wikipedia says, like, as of now, it's won 260 games of the year. Mm. And overall, it's received 800 awards. So I was right. 800. Damn. 800 awards overall. And again, I personally don't think it's worth all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, to go back to, like, again, I understand game ship buggy. There's, like, no way to have a bugless game. I acknowledge that. But just the number of times I got stuck and I had to restart and my fucking horse was running around doing stupid shit, like, I had to stop playing a lot of times.
I remember you streaming and, like, you were able to draw your sword.
Yep. It was, like, just a regular, like, a quality of life issue, just, like, a basic control. It's like, why? Mm-hmm. Like, I was, like, astounded. I was like, how, like, what are you basing this on that this is getting this many awards? I still don't know. I would like to know boobs. The criteria. Maybe, yeah.
Boobs.
All the half-naked girls.
The Boob of the Year award.
There you go. I'm sure. I feel like it has to be one of those awards. Trying to remember, like, what the combat was like. It was okay. I remember something Nogan was hyped about was, like, all the different ways that you could potentially play and all this. No, I don't play games like that. Nuance is like, you know what, here's fire, stay on the floor, you're dead. It's like I only use magic when I absolutely had to. The rest of the time, I just didn't have to do any other shit. Like, the way I play games, you could say it's wrong, you can call me a meathead, I don't give a fuck. I brute force my way through things until I can't.
Yeah.
And it's just like, because I don't have to. It's like, a lot of the times when I'm playing games, I'm just playing for the story. And it's just like...
Oh, you know, sorry, Bioshock Infinite, I think also is another good, successful hype train.
Yeah, I agree.
I was just thinking of different play styles and the different ways you and I approached that mm-hmm. game.
And it's like, if I have to, like, it'll take me a second because I get into the mode of just, like, kill and move forward. But I want to get to the story. Like, a second playthrough or third playthrough, maybe I'll try doing something else. But for the most part, I just want to get through the game. And that's typically, like, raising it as high as I need to and no higher, like, my levels, my stats, whatever. And just barreling through is what I do. Mm-hmm. Like it always, like, blows my mind when I hear Nogan and my brothers talking about builds for, like, City of Heroes or Guild Wars, and I'm just like, no, just hack the thing and go. But it's like, the way they do it is, like, agonizing. It's like they sit there and it's like they're doing math to do this shit, and I'm like, okay, like, if that's what you want to do, fine. But it's just like, I can't get with y'all doing that.
Kenzie's really good at stuff like that.
It hurts my head. It's like, that feels like it takes it.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, like, really, like, classic down and dirty RPGs where they're, like, all of these stats and stuff mm-hmm. like that. She's really good at that. And it, that, like, it starts to become too much for me to keep in my head. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, and it's not so fun for me. And so I'm just like,
no, I don't care about this anymore. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, Pillars of Eternity, like, you can, that's what, like, I like about that series is that, like, if you want to get, like, intense like that, you absolutely can. Like, there are so many things you can tweak, so many different stats. But if you're a dodo like I am, then you can, like, you can play it, like, on a, like, a lower difficulty level. And you still get to, like, play around with stats and everything. It's still, like, fine. But it's not, like, hella mm-hmm. intense. And, like, if you don't feel like doing it, you really don't have to. Like, you can still survive just fine.
Like, I don't mind, like, basic shit, like Final Fantasy VII level RPG shit, like, just mm-hmm. swapping out armor or whatever and, like, buffing that way. But I'm not going to sit there and, like, do a tree to figure out what skills I need to be the most effective to do this, that, and the other. Especially when it's something mm-hmm. you can respec. It's like, why would I do that? It's like, yeah. Oh, this didn't work? Get rid of it. Put this other one in. Oh, this didn't work? This doesn't work with this? Respec. Respec, respec, constantly.
Mm-hmm.
That's another tangent. I forgot what we were talking about before that. Oh, games of the year, and we're talking about BioShock and something else.
Yeah, I liked BioShock.
It was a lot of fun. I used to play that. I used to play through the BioShock series every year, the Mass Effect series every year, and the first two Wolfensteins. Every year.
Mm-hmm.
I liked streaming when I used to stream for that reason. It gave me, like, an excuse to do that. Mm-hmm. I haven't done it yet. Maybe I'll do it this year. Like, maybe not on stream, but just to hang out and do it.
I wouldn't mind playing Infinite with you again.
All right, I'll let you know when I get up to it.
I liked laying crow traps and sniping.
Mm-hmm.
That was my method of getting through. Like, you're going over there and just, like, punching everyone in the face and shotgun blast to the midsection. And I, like, lay out crow traps, and then everyone blunders into them and starts flailing all over the place, and I just pop their little heads off.
I would lay out the crow traps when I had to. I used the other traps, too. It's like, I liked using the, for lack of a better term, the magic, the vigors or whatever for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just like seeing what they did. And, like, buffing them and seeing what they did.
The crows are my favorite. But that's why, like, I've complained about this before. Like, it's like, that was my biggest complaint about that game was that it, like, let you play however you want until you get to the very end. And then if you were, like, if you were play style like you, like, you were fine. But if you were play style like me, you were fucked.
Yeah, that
end
boss was
so
hard. It was
so
weird.
So hard to get through.
It, like, it didn't fit with the rest of the game. Like, it was really strange.
No,
it was like they
didn't
know what to do.
Yeah, it was very bizarre, and it just, like, it was not conducive to my playstyle, so I struggled with that a lot.
So we have any closing thoughts on hype trains?
I mean, y'all do what you enjoy doing. Just try to make informed decisions so you don't spend your hard-earned money on this. Yeah.
Like, I remember my friend Chris was telling, I was warning him against Anthem. And he's just like, no, it's going to be cool. I like Destiny. I'm like, like, number one, does anyone really like Destiny? But, but I kept telling him, no, they messed up the game before this. And Mass Effect 3 was not great either. Like, don't wait until it comes out and see what people are saying. Like, I very rarely, I won't say I never, I will very rarely tell people not to get a game. It's like, get the game, just wait and see how it's received before you get it. Like, you don't even have to, like, listen to people's personal taste on the game. Just, like, basic shit. Like Cyberpunk. Like, how broken that was. Like, that's mm-hmm. not an opinion. That's, the shit is just broke.
I get tempted by pre-order shit, though. You know that about mm-hmm. me.
BioWare broke me. I can't.
I still get hella tempted. I mean, I totally pre-ordered the latest Yakuza game, but I'm enjoying every fucking second of it.
Well, I mean, you enjoyed the whole series. Like, that's different. Like, you know.
Yeah, and the whole thing. So good.
Like, that's a little different because you have such a, you have an extensive background with this game at this point. So it's like a really high chance of success of it hitting for you. But like other shit, it's just like out of left field. Like I said, The Witcher is all CD Projekt Red did. That's the their only game series. This was a huge, I feel jumping in with both feet into Cyberpunk was a huge risk, and it didn't pay off for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So just be a little choosy. Just like, I mean, if you got the money to burn, do whatever the fuck you want to do. If you don't have the money to burn, maybe hold off. Hold off on that pre-order. Hold off on planning out multiple playthroughs.
Plan multiple playthroughs. Who the hell cares? That's free.
I mean, it's free, but it's like a waste of time.
Hey, you're doing a lot of things that waste your time, namely actually playing Cyberpunk. So I don't think you can cast stones on that.
It's like, I only play it at like a time where I wouldn't be doing anything else. Like, I'm about to get off here and play it now. And so, you know what I'd be doing if I wasn't doing it? Watching YouTube. So it's like, it's time that I'm not really going to be, it's not wasted because I wouldn't be spending it doing anything else. I'm just going to be chilling before I go to bed.
Well, maybe the time that Henry spent planning out playthroughs, he wouldn't have been doing anything else. No,
he's talking about that shit constantly.
I mean, you also are talking about Cyberpunk.
I told you my new character because he was cuter than my last one. And I showed you the glitch.
He is cuter. Thank you also for showing me his peak.
Yeah, right. And then I showed you the glitch, and I just mentioned, like, now that I'm back into it, I'm refreshed, something I'm remembering that I don't like about it. That's all. It's not like I'm sitting here giving you a play-by-play of everything.
Like I do with Yakuza? Yes.
But yeah, there you have it. Do what you're going to do with your money. Just pace yourself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good place to end there.
Sure.
You've just listened to We're Disappointed. Intro music is Feels Bad by Strong Suit. Outro music is Decisions by Dream Heaven. You can find them on the Free Music Archive and Pixabay. If you have something that disappoints you, you can send us a line at We're Disappointed on Twitter and Instagram, or our website at WeareDisappointed.com, and we can be disappointed together in future shows. Thanks for listening.